Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights. Jessica, welcome to the podcast. I'm really glad and happy to have you here. So again, a goalie and also again, a woman here in the podcast. So which is you are really a few out of not so many women already joined the podcast. So welcome to the podcast, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Just to get the introduction started into the episode today. So from where do you join our little show today?
Today I am in Ottawa, Canada. So the capital of Canada. This is my home base where I grew up most of my life.
Oh, okay, perfect. So maybe then in this case you can give us a little introduction of yourself. So just for the listeners here, a few who don't already know you, I would like hand it over to you for a short introduction, maybe at the beginning.
Yeah. So my name is Jessica Gaudreau. I am the goalkeeper for the women's national team. I have been on the team for, since 2013. I've played at 6 World Championships, 3 Pan Am Games, and the Olympic Games. So I've been around for a little while now. I grew up playing water polo here in Canada, in Ottawa. I started when I was around 13 years old. I know in the world of water polo, that's a little bit late. A lot of people start much younger than that. But yeah, I grew up here and the sport has taken me everywhere. I got to play in Spain professionally for 2 years now. So yeah, I'm really thankful for it.
Yeah, so it's really when you say, okay, I started playing water polo with the age of 13. It's, as you mentioned before, it's a little bit late. So for European point of view, maybe.
Yeah.
But the system in Canada and in the US or North America, it's totally different from the one in Europe. So maybe we can talk about also this kind of high school system and college system a little bit later. So do you have also swimming before you start with water polo? Or are there any connections between swimming and water polo?
That's kind of how I got started. Like, I was a water baby through and through. I loved being in the water, but I wasn't that keen on being a competitive swimmer. I tried it maybe for a few months, but it was just a little bit too boring for my liking. And
Is by the way, a totally normal answer for all the water polo players maybe around the world here.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I found water polo like through a family friend. And the rest is history. I basically was a player for 2 days, not even. And a coach saw me because I was the height that I am now. I was this tall when I was 13. And they were like, yeah, you're going to be a goalkeeper. You're going to just keep growing. And I didn't get any taller. I kind of had a really early growth spurt, but it didn't work to my disadvantage. So that's a good thing. And yeah, ever since then, I've just been in net.
I have all the discussion regarding coming from swimming and have a good swimming education. Yeah. So for water polo players also very important. So which is also, I would assume, also for goalkeeper then a good base. Yeah. So have a good education in terms of swimming instead of starting without swimming and then going over to water polo. It's also very important for a goalkeeper, right? At least the distance is maybe not so long for you, but to be fast on the corner maybe then.
Yeah. I also think like my parents really enforced playing as many sports as possible. So that's why I didn't truly start with water polo until I was 13, because I was playing basketball competitively. I was doing volleyball. I was doing martial arts. Like, I had done martial arts at that point for 8 years. So like, I think I took a background from a little bit of all the sports that I played, and I really used it to my advantage and basically became more well-rounded, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, which is also another interesting point, which comes out of so many discussions all over the last couple of years, that it's for most of the participants here in the podcast very important at the very beginning of their career to do not only one or two sports, because it's really limiting the challenges and also the abilities. So it's if I understand it correctly, that's also for you really a benefit in long term to do several sports and put out to make most of each of these sports for your water polo career.
Yeah, now looking back, I definitely agree. I think in the moment you don't realize it, you just enjoy playing all the sports because you're a kid. And it takes you away from homework or doing house chores. So that was always my excuse. But now definitely that I'm getting also more into a coaching role and I'm starting to coach goalies, you know, there are a lot of 12 and unders who their parents are interested in having me coach them, but I don't necessarily agree yet. I definitely want like those age groups to experience playing in the field and maybe spending time doing other sports as well and not specializing so early. I feel like my career has been long enough because I was able to round up my athletic ability at a younger age and not specialize and kind of get those long-term injuries or those overuse injuries that you see a lot of people get like in their 20s. I know a lot of teammates who had to either stop or like change their training patterns or get surgery really early on because, you know, they were the ones who started when they were 8 years old or 10 years old. And yeah, you don't really realize it in the moment, but I think that has a huge part in my career today.
And the decision to say, okay, I stop more or less all the other things I do at the moment and start really focusing on water polo, was that, let's say, easy or a hard decision? Or was it, let's say, a logical thinking, saying, okay, I love playing water polo, being a goalie, and all the other things and stuff. It's nice, but it's not so nice as water polo.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit. Like our Canadian sports system is different. So we didn't have water polo in high school. It was an extracurricular activity. So I had to find a club and my parents had to bring me there. And so for that reason, I didn't stop playing other sports until I left high school. So until I was 17. I was playing a lot of sports and my water polo coaches definitely did not appreciate that because I would come home with like different injuries that they're like, you know, I don't know why you're playing American football. Like you're not going to get these injuries playing water polo, like these kinds of things. I definitely think in other systems like European and American system, like they have access to water polo with schools or with clubs at an earlier age. So they don't necessarily get as much exposure to other sports. I think now times are changing. So I do see more kids in Canada stopping with other sports at school so that they can specialize. But I was a little bit of a tough cookie and I made my coaches angry with a lot of the injuries that I came back with. I did in my last year, I did promise to stop all sports except for volleyball. So that was the only thing that I continued until I was 18, basically.
So right now, when you switched over to the coaching career or going more in the coaching area, so maybe then you can remember the words from your coaches in the past saying, okay, maybe you have to stop this and that just to focus on, let's say, three sports and three things and not on, I don't know, five to eight.
Yeah, so I could definitely agree.
So we already mentioned the different system from the Canada and the US instead of Europe, and for sure there is also a different standing of water polo in Canada or in the US as is in Europe, for example. But is it for sure the case that there's a different standing, or what do you say, what do you think it's the standing of water polo then in Canada in your specific terms?
Yeah. Now that I'm stepping back into coaching here, I definitely do see a huge difference. Unfortunately, our country is, I mean, there are their pros and cons, but our country is just so big that it's really difficult to get enough games for the kids that are playing water polo. This year especially, like our club, our organization has taken more games away from the clubs because it's really hard to upkeep and it's really expensive, and I understand that, but I don't think it's going to be beneficial for water polo in the coming years in our country. So that's really hard to see, especially having grown up in this system where I was able to play games, like tournaments, almost every weekend. And seeing now that these kids won't get the same games, just they enjoy playing the sport and having fun playing is why we train. You know, we don't train to train. Nobody necessarily enjoys that. So seeing that taken away is really sad, but also knowing that if they want to take that path towards the national team, once they hit the international stage, like that level and that difference will probably show earlier on. Later on when they catch up playing more games, like it won't be so bad, but I think in their earlier national career teams, like national team careers, it'll show that we've had less games than other countries.
There's also not a structure with the clubs like here in Europe, when I understand it correctly. So there's only high school teams or college teams really playing water polo, or you are able to play water polo when you're on college or high school. So you already mentioned that you are also playing in Spain or in Europe. Do you think it's yeah, which system it's better for you or from your point of view? So you already mentioned that it's today not really able or easy to play so much games as in the past. But this is really then, as you said, not really a good thing. So have less games over the year.
Yeah. I mean, the one advantage that I see in Europe is that the clubs are so easily accessible by kids. Like, you know, after school, kids are going to clubs, or even during school, kids are going to their clubs to practice their sport. And we don't have that so readily available in Canada, definitely because of how large we are geographically. But that is why I say, like, yeah, the games being taken away is going to be difficult. And it's not that the system didn't work. Like, I think for our generation, we were able to play a lot of games. Definitely the prices of being able to play games every weekend was different than what it is now. Like, our sport is becoming very expensive. So I also understand why a lot of games are being taken away, but it won't help us in the future. So I do hope things will change. But I see that the kids are still really motivated to train. So that does keep me like really positive.
So I have also the discussion about the size of a countries many times in the podcast, because we have, for example, difference between, let's say, Germany and Hungary. For example, Hungary is very small and they have such a successful national team and league and so on. And in Germany, it's much bigger than Hungary, but there's also not really at the moment the best conditions to grow or to play successful as a national team. And also the league is maybe not as competitive as the thing in Hungary or in Spain or in Italy. And I think then the connection between the size of a country and the number of kids or people playing water polo, there's really a direct connection in most of the cases.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, our city is finally big enough that now we have two clubs in my city, and growing up, we were only one club. So it's nice to see that the sport is still growing given how large our country is. But you're right. Like, for example, in Canada, our league gets split from East Coast and West Coast, and then they only mix twice a year. So like the best team on the West and the best team on the East are only really playing the most challenging games twice a year. And then you look at European teams like Hungary, for example, and they're able to play challenging games like every month. So when their national teams go play a final, it's not really as stressful. For example, like if we were to play a final, it would be like, oh my God, this is the first time I'm playing a really high stress, high level game. And for them, it's just another weekend.
Yeah. So it's each time very interesting to get the different views and different impressions from people coming from this country. This was really the reason, because last couple of podcasts were coming from Serbia, for example, or from Hungary. And these are really, let's say, some of the most successful water polo countries in the world. Mm-hmm. But it shows also that it's not really, so easy to adapt to running systems like Hungary and Serbia for countries, for Germany or Canada, for example. Yeah, so it's nice to see what they're doing at the moment or what they do in the past and how the water polo education is running and so on. But it's not really able to copy one-to-one. Yeah, so it's not really
a blueprint.
And you have, a blueprint, right. And you have to see what makes sense for me in this case also for a country. And this is really interesting each time to see and to hear and to discuss about. The goalkeeper, it's not really a secret, a special position. In most of the cases, also not only a special position, but also special persons. Would you see or agree on that goalkeepers or goalies are special persons and have to be maybe dealt a little bit different than the rest of the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a topic that always comes up because actually the one thing that I get whenever I make new teammates, and I don't know if this is like a compliment or I don't know how to take it, but I always get, hey, you're the most normal goalie I've ever met. I'm like,
okay. Which is a compliment, I would say.
Yeah, but then you kind of think like, okay, like how bad are the other ones or how weird are the other ones? Or like, is it that different? You know, like how much better or how much more normal am I than the other ones? So, I always hear that, but I guess, it does take like a special person, you know, we're that last line of defense. When that number goes up on the scoreboard, like it feels like it's your fault. Like you're the reason why that number goes up, not necessarily exactly the reason why, but you're the last person that can prevent that from happening. So it takes somebody who's like mentally tough to be able to be in the position and who's also okay with being a little bit like alone, you know, although we play a team sport, our position is definitely like an individual sport within that team environment. So, not everybody is really necessarily comfortable doing that. And that's why a lot of our players, like they want to play a team sport. So I definitely think it takes a special kind of person to do what you do.
And special persons, it's not in every team really a negative thing to have these kind of special persons. Yeah. Regarding the role or the importance of a goalkeeper, so I already have this discussion a few weeks ago where somebody says in the podcast, okay, the role of the goalkeeper is much more important today, especially after the new rule changes. Yeah, so in the past, you can say, okay, with the top performing goalkeeper, you were able to win games or titles or whatever. So, and with the new rules and the new environment, more or less the role or the importance of a good goalkeeper, it's much more higher than in the past, because without a good goalkeeper, you're not able to winning anything in the future. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I haven't played the new rules with the shorter shot clock yet. Like we didn't end up going to world championships. So I can't speak about the 28 seconds, but from what I've seen from that, like shots are coming off way quicker. They're more the shots are more erratic. They're not necessarily predictable. Like when we had that 30 second, there are certain movements that you see like, okay, like this person's making this drive. Now I know like they're probably going to pass the ball here. They're looking to open a player on the other side of the pool. But now from what I've seen is that like the lack of time is kind of causing more spontaneous plays, more erratic shooting, more individual playing, which I feel like I'll have to adapt to in the next tournament that we're able to play in. But for sure, like even the change in the 2 meter rule, the game became so much quicker. The number of goals that were being scored like went up by on average by like 5, I think. You know, like our old coaches, I used to remember, they used to be like, yeah, like if we can keep the score under 8, if they score less than 8 goals, like we can win that kind of game. But now you don't really see a lot of games that are under, like both teams are scoring over 8 goals. It's usually like around 10 to 15. So the game has changed so much that our position has had to adapt, I think, the quickest. The 2 meter rule, I think for me, was the biggest change that happened in our position. Like that ball being able to come so much closer and our range of movement essentially widening and becoming larger was a huge adaptation for the position. And like you said, if goalies weren't able to adapt to it, then having that kind of average goalkeeper was finally showing. Like those, that became more of a weakness than just like a normal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And when you say, okay, you have to adopt also this in the practice sessions, what exactly are the ways to adopt these new kind of rules or movements in the water when you have to be more spontaneously or a little bit quicker than from left to right or to the middle? So are there any maybe one or two practice things you can tell us when you see, okay, I have to adopt here a little bit more?
Yeah. When they changed the 2 meter rules, I started working with a goalie coach in Spain. Her name is Patri Del Soto, and her like idea of how a goalkeeper should move and how we should train, I think honestly shapes my philosophy more today and how I feel a goalkeeper should be training and should be playing. But her whole thing was definitely like to train for the unpredictable, if that makes sense. So although you're doing like a certain exercise or a certain drill, there was always a variation within that base that kind of changes it. So you're not always doing the same thing and you're not just going through the motions and expecting to do, okay, yeah, I'm going to step here. They're going to shoot short side. Like, of course you'll do that. But after a certain point, when you're really getting towards a competition, it's like, okay, I'm going to step here. Maybe she'll shoot here. Maybe she shoot there. We're going to add a reaction. We're going to add some more leg speed. Like, basically training yourself to not get into these predictable motions.
But because why I'm asking this is when, let's say, young kids are listening to the podcast or young goalies listen to the podcast, it's, I think, from my point of view, each time very interesting to have some advice. Yeah, advice, maybe it's not the right word, but some hints and tips, terms of practice. I think it absolutely makes sense. And when you say your goalkeeper coach from Spain was the one who have really the most impact on you and your game and your philosophy, are there any, or let's say another way, do we need really specific goalkeeper coaches in the clubs? Because it's in Spain or Hungary or national teams, that it's a normal case. But when we say, okay, we are not able to win any titles or games or whatever without a good goalkeeper at the end, based on the new rules, we have to keep this more in mind and pay attention to that and make it a little bit more specific also from a coaching point of view for goalkeepers.
Yeah. I think when I first started playing with the national team, it was definitely normal not to have a goalkeeper coach. Like the assistant coach would be coaching the goalkeepers and it would just be like, okay, yeah, like they need legs, they need shots, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But the position has progressed so much now that it's so much more technical. It's so much more cognitive, like doing reaction drills in the water, out of the water. And now realizing that legs are very, very important. But making sure our entire body is healthy and we're able to move in a sense that like we have good mobility, there's no joint pain, things like this is so important for the longevity in our position and also for the functionality. So Patri, for example, like she always added like these mobility sessions or these reaction like cognitive sessions, like although the session wasn't always necessarily directly linked to being a goalkeeper in water polo, but maybe it's like starting these new neural pathways in your brain that you're really, like I said, training for the unpredictable. So I'm making new neural pathways, and maybe it's not directly related, but maybe it's going to make me quicker to react because now these neurons are firing in different ways and they're firing faster to make a reaction or to read a play and things like that. So what I really enjoyed with her was that we trained for a lot of chaos, because I was definitely the kind of goalkeeper that was super hard on myself. And if I made a mistake, it would ruin my whole day or my whole practice. But training for chaos and just doing drills that, like, okay, it's actually impossible to do this drill perfectly, but if I put in a lot of effort and I'm making 80% of saves or something, like, that's something that could make us win a game. You're never going to be at 100%. You could be, but in our position, that's not normal. So kind of training for that chaos was like a huge mentality shift that helped me.
Yeah. So, and this is also going in the same direction, like with the other guests in the podcast saying, okay, I have not only to train my body and my physics and so on, so because I have also to train and to maintain my mental area. Yeah. So that I'm not really from a body point of view ready for these kind of high level matches and games and tournaments, but also from a mentally standpoint, yeah, so that you are able to work on that and to be able to stand these kind of pressure then. Yeah, so it's more or less not less important than the body.
Yeah, and it's not so like, okay, so much more like mental health, like, am I okay? And speaking to a psychologist, like, that is also important, but it's almost like a different take on it. Like, okay, if we're training our brains differently and we're able to make new neural pathways, like, we are also allowing our bodies to be able to follow that path, that we might be able to do things that we didn't think we could be able to do. Or if we had kept with the same routine the whole time, my progress would be looking completely different than if I was doing different things on a regular basis and kind of keeping myself like more well-rounded. And it almost ties into like what we were talking about, specializing at too young of an age. So it's almost like keeping that concept now that you're specialized. Okay, perfect. Now what can I do to still kind of keep some different training, some different body movements that are still going to help me towards my specialization, and kind of keeping that through your entire career and not just when you're young.
Yeah. So, and this is also then just coming to my mind when we are saying, okay, we have to be flexible and have during the training or practice sessions so many different aspects maybe we should cover. Also a challenge for coaches. Yeah. So to make the practice and the coaching not, let's say, boring somehow.
Yeah.
To be flexible and to think also, from a coaching point of view, okay, yeah, I'm able to do new things and I'm open for new things.
Yeah.
So which goes then into the direction of the coaching again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something that I noticed with Patry a lot. I'm like, you have to be so passionate and you honestly have to be thinking about water polo has to be in the back of your mind all the time, because she would message me and be like, oh, I was watching soccer, or oh, I was doing this and I thought like of a new drill. So it's really taking like these other sports or these other kind of training regimes and bringing it into water polo. So it could be very difficult if you're really thinking like, okay, how is this going to help water polo? But I think on the other hand, it could be really easy because you could take inspiration from anything, you know, like as long as you kind of have that mindset that, okay, like maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But if you try it one time and you realize it doesn't work, it wasn't harmful. Like, you know, you're trying something new and maybe just the act of doing something new is going to help you to build new neural pathways.
Yeah. Also, there are, let's say, over the last couple of months or years, it's not really initiative, but some activities between different sports where the coaches are really, try to connect to each other and exchange information and details and coaching stuff between coaching community, let's say that way, without any sports in front. Yeah, so it's totally regardless if somebody's coming from soccer or from hockey or from rugby or from water polo or whatever. So just to have these, as you mentioned, these other view on exercises, on drills, on practice components, where we might have also benefit then from a water polo point of view.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I follow so many platforms on Instagram about like soccer goalkeeping and hockey goalkeeping, because there is so much content available. In our sport, there's not very much content available for any positions. And that's fine. Like, we're a very small sport, but these other positions, with hockey or soccer, like, they're not that different, especially hockey goalkeepers. Like, the positioning, the way they save the ball or the puck, sorry, it's like not too far off with how, like, sometimes with how we save the ball sometimes. So there is some take that you can get from other sports and other coaches for sure.
Yeah, and so, and also, even when there's maybe, as today, not so many content available for water polo, but my impression is that this somehow is really good growing at the moment. Yeah, mm-hmm. So at least also to have the chance to watch games on the live stream, for example, which was also not available in the past, which is a good thing. And also so many other guys running any, let's say, initiatives to say, okay, I would like to start a YouTube channel or whatever. This is really something which goes, from my point of view, in the right direction. Yeah. So even when there's not so many, like for soccer or hockey, for example, but there's something growing at the moment, which is at least my view, my feelings on that.
Yeah, I totally agree. There are so many more platforms for discussions about water polo and like learning about water polo. So I think that's great. Like, I mean, social media is such a great tool in that sense that we can learn and exchange information so easily with everybody around the world with like the click of our finger. So, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so otherwise we are not able to make these kind of podcasts, for example. Yeah, so when there's no social media available. But you already mentioned that at some point in time in the past of your career, you joined the national team for the first time, and also coming from the from the younger national team, so which is under 20, I think. Are there any big differences between these two levels, with the junior team and the senior team?
Yeah, in our country, I definitely would say so. I mean, I think just making that mentality change of like when you're in junior and youth, you don't really realize like you're just playing for fun in the moment. Like, you're definitely really competitive, but you really realize like I'm having so much. Once you're on the senior team, you're like, wow, I had so much fun. But once you hit the senior team, you really take it more seriously in the sense that this is your job. Like, you are responsible for performing. You're expected to perform, and you have to take care of yourself, not just in the water, but out of the water 24/7. And that kind of change, I think, makes you realize the expectations are different. And that's how the level changes so much. Like, when you're in the water, you realize like, whoa, okay, everybody's taking themselves more seriously. Like, okay, yes, we are still having fun here and there, but you really take that responsibility on. And that was the biggest thing that I noticed when I made that jump from junior to senior.
Okay. And you already mentioned that you're also joining 6 times the World Championship and Pan American Games also several times. Mm-hmm.